بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين الطيبين. السلام عليكم dear brothers and sisters ورحمة الله وبركاته. We pray that our amal, our worships, our fasts have been accepted by Allah, and that He helps us in the remainder of this month to benefit more of what remains of it, inshallah. On the 22nd of the month of Ramadan, the dua we've been taught reads as follows. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma aftah li fihi abwaab fadlik wa anzil alayya fihi barakatik wa waffiqni fihi limujibat mardatik wa askinni fihi بحبوحات جناتك يا مجيب دعوة المضطرين. This dua is a bit longer and lengthier than much of the du'as that we have seen in the month of Ramadan, in these short du'as. And what it contains is very interesting. And as we have seen in the previous du'as, these are what we need to understand and truly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. O Allah, iftah li, open the gates, abwaaba, the gates of what? Fadlik. We had before this a dua that spoke about, and we requested the opening of the gates of paradise. Here we're saying Allahumma aftah li fihi abwaab fadlik. Fadl means a mercy given, a bounty given, a ni'mah that is given without deserving. This is sort of what the ulama many times explain of the word fadl. If a wealthy person, a noble person, is walking and he sees people and he grants them. Some of those people are in need of a certain amount of money, let's say. And he gets to them and he gives them that. And sometimes a person may not have that dire need. In other words, they have enough to have a standard life, but they are given more. And none of them, none of these two examples that I mentioned, really deserved anything, meaning this wealthy, noble individual didn't owe them anything. They didn't do anything for them to deserve. They didn't work for him. They didn't do something for them to deserve this. He is giving it to them for free. This is called fadl, as opposed to doing something that what you receive is going to be in return for that. So if I get hired by a noble, generous, wealthy person, and I do work, and we strike a deal, a contract, I do this many hours a day, and each hour I'm paid a certain amount, then what I receive in the end for the work I've done is in return for the work that I've done. That's not fadl. Fadl is where I receive something without deserving it. This is usually what the ulama mention when they want to describe and explain the word fadl. So we say here, O Allah, open the gates to your fadl. Does this mean, or what does it mean in general? What is the fadl of Allah? Now, by explaining that it's a bounty that one didn't really deserve through the actions, we can understand that we're talking about God's bounties, blessings, the different in different forms. Some of those that we currently understand as blessings from Allah, many which we do not understand, we're asking for all of it, fadl. Does that include paradise? Yes, it includes paradise. Now, if it includes paradise, then is it such that, for example, in some of the other du'as, we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us something that we deserve? I've done certain actions, I've prayed, I've fasted, I have engaged in supplication, in munajat, in the middle of the night, I've woken up, hours I've spent in prostration, weeping, and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, I'm asking God just to pay me for that, give me the rewards for that. And then in this dua, we're saying, oh Allah, you're going to give that to me, inshallah, I've asked that elsewhere. But now I'm asking you to give me more, give me extra, give me beyond what I actually deserve. In some ways, sometimes the verses seem to talk about bounties and blessings given to believers in that way. In other words, sometimes what we find, what we see, is that blessings of the hereafter, the gardens, the streams, and so on, are referred to as blessings in return for the actions that one has performed. You worshipped, you're going to receive a blessing. And then, in some of those verses, when it says that you're going to be receiving the rewards of your actions, then it says God will give you of His fadl as well. And His fadl is very vast. He can give more than that, and He will give more than that. So in certain contexts, we see that the rewards are divided up in those two different ways, or in two different categories. You have the rewards for the actions, which you're supposedly deserving because of what you have done, and then you have the additional rewards and bounties that are provided. But when we take a closer look, we see that no, everything that God gives us is a fadl. There is nothing that we deserve. Why? Very briefly, if we just analyze. If I was able to worship God and avoid sins for the rewards in the hereafter, who gave me the ability to carry out those deeds? Who taught me how to do it? Who showed me the way? Who made it possible for me when everybody was struggling? Who made it possible for me to actually do that? The mind that I have with which I worship God is God-given. The heart I have is God-given. The ability of that heart to become khashi' and have the khushu' and humility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is God-given. The understanding of khushu' is God-given. And when you look at it, there is nothing that is actually mine that I would say, God, I did this on my own, and now you have to give me rewards. No, I myself and everything that I've done and all the good that I've done, if there is any of that, is actually God's. And then He gives me rewards in return for those as well. The whole thing is fadl. Me being able to say Alhamdulillah is fadl. Me being able to say Subhanallah is fadl. Me being able to pray at dhuhr time and at maghrib is fadl. And the reward for it is fadl. It's all fadl. There is nothing that I deserve on my own. So we're saying, oh Allah, open those gates. Open those gates of all of that fadl coming towards me more than before, more and more. Allahumma aftah li fihi abwaaba fadlik. He's already given, and He is giving, but we're still asking for more without even deserving it. That may be another underlying factor here, to realize that although even worshipping him is a fadl, but the rewards for the worship, if we treat them as rewards and they're not fadl, and if a person has committed sins, they don't deserve any rewards, which is pretty obvious. If I haven't done anything to deserve any rewards, then I don't deserve them. We're saying, oh Allah, give it to me anyway, as fadl. I don't deserve anything, but you give me. You are dhul fadl al-azim. You have that fadl and you can give. Allahumma aftah li fihi abwaba fadlik. وَأَنْزِلْ عَلَيَّ فِيهِ بَرَكَاتِكَ. Everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, from the Almighty, from the Al-A'la, the Highest, if it's going to come to me, it will trickle down and it will descend. أَنْزِلْ عَلَيَّ فِيهِ. In this month, on this day, بَرَكَاتِكَ. Your barakat. Barakat are, as we have discussed before in these sessions about the du'as, are special bounties and blessings that are a lot more effective and a lot more beneficial than others. Sometimes you look and see that a person, a believer, is able to accomplish a whole lot in a short period of time. Their time, they say, has barakah. When they work, they're able to accomplish a lot more. And others, in that same given amount of time, even if they try, they will not be able to accomplish half that amount. If one receives a barakah, let's use the example of a house. Different people own homes. If the house has barakah in it, then the way that house is going to be benefiting its owner is going to be one way, where different people come and go, there's a lot of joy, there's happiness, there is satisfaction, and so many other people come in. Everybody's able to benefit. Some of the homes are like that. Believers come, go, and there's always extra. There's no shortage of food, something to serve. Everybody in the house is happy and satisfied. The spouses, the children. Quran is recited there. Some homes are like that. So much is going on, so much is accomplished in those homes for the individuals that live there and others that come and visit. And you have certain homes that nothing is happening in them. There's always fights. Nobody likes to be in that house. People don't come visit. When they come and visit, there's not much benefit, spiritual or material. There's no barakah. Barakah, barakat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are blessings that the effectiveness of those blessings, the benefit in those blessings, is a lot more than other blessings that may even seem and look similar. One may have a small tiny house, but the barakah of that is that there's constantly good deeds happening there on a regular basis. And then you can have a very large house with a large plot, a large piece of land. But what comes out of that house is not really that beneficial. Very little comes from it. It's unused. Barakot, all the blessings that could be a barakah, we're asking for those blessings, for them to be more beneficial for us and for everyone. وَأَنْزِلْ عَلَيَّ فِيهِ بَرَكَاتِكَ وَوَفِّقْنِي فِيهِ لِمُوجِبَاتِ مَرْضَاتِكَ. Oh Allah, give me the tawfiq. We've had this in the du'as. Bring everything together to allow me to do what? إِلَى فِيهِ لِمُوجِبَاتِ مَرْضَاتِكَ. Mujibat of the marzat. In other words, We have the marzat of Allah, God being pleased with us. But things need to be done for God to be pleased with one. There are certain things that cause God to be pleased with us. Of course, causing, not meaning that it affects God, but it makes us, it's the cause that would make us be eligible to have God pleased with us. So it's the cause that brings with it the marzat and God being pleased with us. وَفِّقْنِي فِيهِ لِمُوجِبَاتِ Give me the tawfiq to do these things that would cause the marzat of Allah. Prayer, dhikr, avoiding sin, avoiding laghw. Real dhikr, that is real remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This requires tawfiq. We're asking Him to give us that tawfiq to be able to carry out what is going to bring with it the marzat of the Divine. وَأَسْكِنِّي فِيهِ بُحْبُحَاتِ جَنَّاتِكَ Oh Allah, we've had this concept repeated. Oh Allah, allow me in paradise. Open the gates of paradise and the gardens of paradise. Give me a home there, a permanent residence there, as we had in the previous day, in the dua of the previous day. And here what we're saying is something that has an additional touch to it. We're saying, Oh Allah, askinni, give me a home and allow me to reside, fi, not fi jannatik, but askinni fihi, in the month of Ramadan, buhbuhat jannatik, the middle, in the midst of the Jannah. If we understand it first in a very material way, if you're usually when you enter a forest and gardens, at the boundaries or right where the entrance is, which are the boundaries, and that's where the garden ends, there's not too much that's going on. Yes, you have the trees. They may have fruits on them. But where you're going to go to receive all of those blessings that are found in that garden in abundance is more in the middle of it. That's where you're going to be finding trees with more fruits on them. You'll find streams there, springs. You go find those areas in the garden, not the sidelines, not on the outskirts, not on the borders, just getting the foot in. Now, buhbuhat means those centers, okay, the center of the garden where everything, all the blessings come together more in abundance than on the outsides or closer to the borders. The gardens of the Divine, materially and simply a physical understanding of gardens and trees and that center is not something that we would want to be thinking of, but rather the center of it and being at those centers revolves around the proximity of the Divine. In other words, if we understand the concept of Tawheed and the proximity of the Divine, the closer you get to the center of the universe, which is the Divine Himself, He is the center of the universe. And everything within the universe is simply a manifestation of Him. And we get further and further away from the center when we move away from Him. The center of these gardens, the best place to be in the gardens, comes with the proximity of the Divine, which through actions we can try to acquire, inshallah. So we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. We don't want to just get our foot in the gardens, as we mentioned in previous du'as as well. But we actually want to get the best spots. And the way we can get the best spots is to try to advance in the spiritual process and progress such that we reach the proximity of the Divine, we become some of the muqarrabin of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya mujiba da'wat al-muzdarrin. What do we say in this dua? How do we address Allah? We say, oh, the one who responds to the call and the request of al-muzdarrin. Muzdar is someone that is in dire need of something. If you're in a situation where, God forbid, you're on a plane, let's use that as an example, and the plane starts to drop, and you start feeling like this plane is going to crash, those moments, you are in dire need of help, and the state of mind that you have is called اضطرار. Completely hopeless and helpless. I can't do anything and I just need help. That's the feeling of اضطرار. We're saying, oh, the one who responds to the request of the مضطر. If anybody's in the state of اضطرار, they call upon God, God responds to them. Now we're calling him with this title and with this attribute. The way we can call him by that, and what would cause it to make sense for us to call him in that way, is that we are مضطر with regards to the request that we have made in this dua. In other words, when we say اللهم افتح لي فيه أبواب فضلك with the explanations given, وأنزل علي فيه بركاتك ووفقني فيه لموجبات مرضاتك وأسكنني فيه بحبوحات جناتك. Do we feel that we are in dire need of it? If we feel that, and that we are falling into hellfire, we have these two options. It's either falling into the pits of hellfire or going up to the climax and to the highest peaks of perfection and the best places in paradise. If I feel the dire need, have that اضطرار, then it makes sense for me to say, oh Allah, oh the one who responds to the call of the مضطرين. So what I'm trying to get to is that, yes, God is مجيب دعوة المضطرين. He responds to those calls. But the question is, are we مضطر? Are we in the state of اضطرار? Do we understand ourselves to be in the state of اضطرار? If we develop that feeling, if we start realizing that we are actually مضطر, then calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that is going to be very helpful, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.